Something about this verse here, Jesus told him, let's go over to the other side. Jesus was going somewhere. Jesus had a destination in mind. You know, Jesus always has a destination in mind in your life. He has a purpose. He always has a plan. And sometimes things don't work out according to our plan and according to our design, but God has points that He wants us to touch in our life. And if we go with Him, He'll take us over to that other side. He has picked certain destinations just for you. Others can't go with you. Some may go to the same destinations, but He's got a special path picked just for you. So these disciples, He said, let's go over to the other side. And without a whole lot of description, without a whole lot of guidance, they jumped on the ship and went with Him, didn't they? How much description and guidance do we need before we'll follow God? God nudges our heart to go a certain direction, and we know it's God. How much does He have to pull on us? You know, Jonah, he had to have a fish swallow him. These guys just jumped right on the boat and went on over to the other side with Him. In verse 23 it says, but as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water. And they were in jeopardy. They were doing exactly what God asked them to do. They jumped in the ship with Him. Sometimes God's path will put you in jeopardy. Sometimes you will experience jeopardy in God's will. You know, God doesn't promise us that we won't see disappointments along the path. As a matter of fact, how can He take us down a path that doesn't allow us to experience disappointments? We can't build our strength without a certain level of disappointment. On verse 24, it says, and they came unto Him, and they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and they were calm. And He said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying unto one another, what manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and the water, that they may obey Him. Is your God big enough to do this? And they were wondering, well, who is this that can cause this wind and the sea to settle down? In their mind, their God wasn't quite big enough to do that. So let's go over to John 1. Let's learn just a little bit about this God and how big He is. You guys okay this morning? Is it just me, or is it all of us? Is it going to be okay, Brother Ken? You think it is? Y'all Christmas shopping or something? Am I Christmas shopping? I went to Atlanta yesterday. I'm told I enjoyed it. We went to the Nutcracker. Y'all know what the Nutcracker is? Hey guys, that's ballet. You know, I'm all about culture. I really am. I love to experience new things. And this is about the fourth or fifth time we've done the Nutcracker. And I'm redneck. I always will be. I do like to see things that are, well, I like to see those sorts of things. But I just can't quite love ballet. I'm open to it. I want to like it. Now my wife loves it. Now I love seeing her enjoy it. And I love seeing the girls sit there at the edge of their seats and they're all dressed up. And, you know, it's a special Christmas time thing for us. But there's something about the music. It's just so calming. And it just kind of works you into this little bit of a trance. And they're doing the same thing over and over down there. I mean, I know they work hard to get to that level of performance. But once you've seen them jump once and spin twice, that's kind of it. That's kind of the show. So that's the most expensive nap I've had in a while. But I did wake up a little bit later, and, you know, I'm good in the second half because I've got my sleep out. But it was a neat experience. Those traditions we build. Whew. I was calculating this. this morning how much Nutcrackers cost me over the years. Never look back. Okay, all right, we're awake now, aren't we? All right. John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." You know, these waves obeyed Him, and this wind obeyed Him, because He was their Creator. I forget how big God is. We've got our storms, and we assign our storms a certain size. And other people's storms are bigger and worse than ours. And ours are bigger and worse than others. But the truth is, none of them are bigger than what the Creator can handle. And it feels like it. It feels like it a lot of times. It feels like you're the only one. And it feels like it's unbearable. And to you, it really is. But God is big enough and God is strong enough to see us through it. We act like we don't know who God is, and we act like He can't fix it. But He can. He can. He can fix the biggest mess. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 26. I want to look at one of Jesus' extreme makeovers. You guys know that show, right? The Extreme Makeover. The Extreme Home Makeover, and there's restaurant makeovers, and there's all kind of makeovers. And I'm looking out at this crowd here, and I'm seeing a lot of makeovers out here. I'm not going to say it, but I'm looking at a lot of makeovers. A lot of you didn't start to end up sitting where you're sitting right now. And you took a path that wasn't pretty, and it wasn't neat, and it wasn't cultured, even if it did go through the ballet. But here you are in God's house on Sunday morning, and if you're like me, you got here because you experienced a makeover. You experienced something that happened in your heart and in your life that this is the only place you can be today. Let's look at Legion. We're going to look a little bit at Legion. In verse 26 it says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." Okay, I want to draw your attention to the words, "he had devils a long time." And look at the situation Legion was in. It said he was unclothed and he abode in no house. He was living in the tombs. If he'd have just been having devils for a short time, you could have looked at Legion and probably seen his house in turmoil. You probably could have seen him not supporting his job, not showing up on time. You could have seen a lot of things that the devil does in the beginning. You might have even seen him prospering, because a lot of times the devil allows you to prosper in a certain direction before he takes control. You know, I remember, and this will be so many years ago, half of you weren't even here, but we had a young preacher here one time. I remember him taking a job up in Atlanta, and he told me, he says, "Yeah, they're going to have me working on Sundays." And then he told me the salary, and I thought, well, you know, okay, that's interesting. And he felt like he had to go take that job because of that good salary. Well, I hadn't seen him here in a dozen years or so, and I don't know if he's in church. But sometimes the devil will give you something that looks good and you go for it just to rock you into a situation that he wants you to be in. So the first offer's often one that's desirable. But after you've been with the devil for a long time, like this man, like Legion, you end up in a place where he had no clothes. He had no house. That means if he had no house, usually when you end up with no house, it means that you've run through all your family. You've run through all your friends. Everybody that would have helped you has tried. Everybody that could have helped you has done it. And you've come up empty. So being with the devil a long time can take you through all that and finish you out living among the tombs like Legion was. I said, this man, he was clearly consumed by the devil. His mind was gone. And he was drawn to the dead things of the world. You know, you see some of these young people in the goth and in the mindset of nibbling at the things of the devil. If you really think about where that path takes you, and it twists your mind into a situation where the guts and the gore and the blood and the bad and the dark things of this world are comforting to you. That's where the devil can take you at the end of the day. Human nature draws us to the world, and when Satan overtakes us, he can draw us to the dead and the rotten things. Just like he had Legion in the tombs. It says in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Legion recognized something here as he cried out to Jesus. He realized that he wasn't in good shape. He realized that he was in a foul condition. He recognized his own state. And that's the first step of getting help from Jesus, is to recognize that you're not where you need to be. I told you we went to the Nutcracker yesterday, and you know, on the streets of Atlanta, as you're getting, it was at the Fox Theater, so on the streets of Atlanta, you look around and you see people just standing. It's Saturday in the middle of the day, and they're just standing. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they're not handing out cookies, because I didn't see any cookies or I didn't see any gifts being handed out. I don't know what they're doing, but they're just standing. And I find that interesting. So I'm looking around at all the people, and one guy is holding up a little sign, and he was clearly panhandling. And he held up the sign, and it said, "I'm ugly, please help." Hey, it's better than some I've seen.
Right, yeah.
"I'm ugly, please help." I looked at the sign. I didn't get a good look at him. I couldn't see if he was extra ugly or just moderately ugly. But he was ugly enough to know that he was ugly. And he needed help. Some of us never get to the state where we know we're ugly and we need help. It'd be okay if you want to make a sign. God show up and read your sign and help you out a little bit. God can't help you until you admit that you're ugly and you need help. He wants to get you to that place. He wants to get you to where... And you know, we think about people who aren't churched, and we think about people who aren't here right now that need that kind of help. But the truth is, there's none righteous. No, not one. The truth is, you probably got some ugly spots still left that need a good cleaning. I know I do. So, Legion at this encounter recognized Jesus' deity. If you will, turn to Matthew 1, verse 23. I was so close to doing the Christmas story this morning, and God wouldn't give it to me. I tried to make a lesson out of the Christmas story, and he wouldn't put anything on it. This is the only verse he let me touch in that story. But I love this verse. In verse 23 of Matthew 1, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You know, we already looked at John 1, and we saw that everything that was made by Jesus. And without him wasn't anything made. And we look over at Matthew, and we see that a virgin is going to have a child. And it's going to be named Emmanuel, meaning God with us. You should really take some time to connect in your minds the deity and the awesomeness of God and his amazing power, and then the fragility of an infant and the vulnerability of an infant, that he would come down and dwell among us and suffer our transgressions alongside us, that he would hunger and he would thirst and he would feel rejection, and that he would feel pain, and that he would feel the things, the human experience that we have to feel. And then he would die and take our sins on our behalf. God's a big God. And his power was to be feared. In verse 28 it says, we'll read that again, it says, "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Those demons were speaking, torment me not, Jesus. They recognized the power and the deity of Christ. That power was to be feared. This man saw more in Jesus than most Christians do today. We don't recognize his deity, and we don't understand that he's to be feared. We get desensitized. We get desensitized. If we didn't, we wouldn't act the way we do. We lose connection, don't we? Can't let this thing become so routine that we miss the reason we're here. In verse 29 it says, "For he hath commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and it was and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." These swine, there's a lot of different accounts of this in the different Gospels. So demons, there were 3,000 to 6,000 demons that was in Legion. Jesus commanded them to go into the swine, and the swine ran down the hill, and they were choked in the ocean. That just goes to show that anything that the devil touches, he seeks to destroy. And these demons, they were real comfortable going into those unclean beasts. And if you'll make yourself an unclean beast, they'll be real comfortable coming to you as well. It says in verse 31, "And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep." This deep that the demons are talking about. Let's look over in Revelations 9. Let's look a little bit deeper into that deep. My study Bible talks about this deep that the demons are afraid of going into. It talks about it being the abyss. So Jesus had the power to cast these demons into the abyss. In Revelation 9:1 it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." That bottomless pit is the same abyss. It says in verse 2, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." It's a very deep, dark place that this abyss or this... a lot of the theologians don't necessarily equate that, at least in the language of the Bible, to hell. But it's a pit that, you know, you could very easily link to hell. But it's this abyss that Jesus has the power to cast these demons into. And I couldn't find a theologian that had a real good, solid theory on why Jesus chose to cast them into the swine and not into the abyss. I guess that's his business, isn't it? And he can do what he wants to with that. That's a little bit deeper than I can explain. But he did. And in verse 32, like I said, "And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." Just like I said, Satan always destroys without exception. It's his nature. That's all he can do. In his bag of tricks, he doesn't have any more choices but to destroy. He may give you something good, something big, something promising. He may give you a promotion in the beginning. But the end, the whole purpose and the whole path is so that he can destroy. There is no good thing in him. There's nothing else he can do. His choices are destroy, 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 A, B, or C. There's nothing good. And if you think you're going to prosper going in his direction, all you're going to get is destroyed. Verse 34, "When they that fed on them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I bet a lot of people were afraid when you came back after getting saved and cleaning up. That's unsettling, isn't it? To see somebody that used to be just like me cleaned up and acting right. That's a scary thing, because you know one of the scariest things to a sinner is that they have to give up their lifestyle. You know, it's everything they know. It's everything they know. And if the God that got a hold to you gets a hold to them, then they have to turn loose of everything they know. Everything that's comforting to them. Everything that makes up their foundation, they have to turn it loose. And the devil would have them be scared to do that. But I can tell you firsthand, it's a much better life. You know, Brother Adams' lesson last Sunday was great. Those three birds, and I identify a lot with that sparrow. Brother, I was thinking about that sparrow this week, and your teaching does stay with us. So I was feeding on some of that teaching this week, and that sparrow, God takes care of that sparrow, doesn't he? And I've been taken very good care of. I've never gone hungry. I'm doing okay, and God's blessed me, and he's loved me, and he's taken care of me. But that sparrow also was found in a place where he was alone, and God says it's not good to be alone. Well, I have a tendency to like to be alone. I mean, some people are introverts, some people are extroverts. I have no idea why God would put an introvert in front of a bunch of people talking. It's just the way he does things. But an introvert is someone who really doesn't want to do a whole lot of this sort of thing and likes to keep to himself. Well, God says it's not good to be alone, and you should be like that sparrow that Brother Adam talked about, and you should make connections and build those networks and have those friends. And anyway, that teaching really helped me, brother. So Jesus goes against our nature to help us and to restore us. Legion was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And that's what Jesus will do. Jesus always restores without exception. It's his nature. That's all he can do. If Jesus destroys you or breaks you down, he's only doing it for one reason, and that's to build you up. That's all he can do. In his choices, in his multiple choices of things to do, is to restore, restore, restore. Everything he does to you, whether it looks like he's restoring you or not, that's what he's doing. He's restoring you. He's making you better. So you see the contrast between Jesus and Satan. I know I've made it overly simplistic here, but Satan can only destroy. Jesus can only restore. And sometimes you have to be broken down to be restored. You know, other accounts in the Gospel of Legion says that he was living in the tombs and he was cutting himself with stones. And I don't know how many razor-sharp stones you guys have ever seen. Have you ever been walking in a creek or a river and cut your foot on a stone? No matter how sharp the stone was, it was a pretty jagged cut, wasn't it? I mean, it's a nasty cut to get cut with a stone. So no doubt Legion was all marked up from his previous sin. He had been cutting himself for years with these stones. Jesus restored him, but it doesn't say anything about him restoring his skin like a leper, like he would a leper. It talks about him putting him clothed and in his right mind. So Legion is carrying around all these scars from all this time of being controlled by the devil. I don't think that's any different than us in here, is it? All the time that we spent with the devil, we gathered and we collected scars. And even though Jesus may have put us clothed and in our right mind, these scars, they live, and they live on, don't they? If there's someone here that thinks they're in too bad a shape and they've gone too far, don't expect that Jesus is going to come in and wipe away all the scars, because it's done. I mean, you can't unring a bell. It's happened, okay? What you've done with your connections, with your family and so forth, it can be repaired, but you can't totally erase the scars, because when you've hurt someone, you know, it's there, all right? But what you can do is you can start from here. And Jesus can save you, and He can set your life right from here. And you'd be amazed at how little people see scars. You'd be amazed at how little people see scars when you don't draw attention to them. You know, God can make a better way. And He has. There's examples all over the floor in here. And I'm an example standing here. God is a big God. I appreciate Him and I love Him. I don't deserve Him. Thank you for your attention.